Good morning. If everybody's ready, we'll call the meeting to order. This is the Thursday, September 18th, 2025, Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting. We'll get a roll call, Dave.
All right, Member Akita?
Here.
Member Riley?
Here.
Member Lowe? Member Tuggle?
Here.
Member Guthrie? Member Gibson?
Here.
Member Hagaman?
Here.
Okay, thank you for that. So we'll start with the opportunity for public comment. This is a time for the public to address any items that are not currently on the agenda. Note that anything you do want to comment on, we will not be able to take action on today.
Thank you. Gordon Hensley, San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper at Environment in the Public Interest. And our organization generally focuses on public trust resources and the protections that go with those. And as you know, we're involved in the lawsuit with the county. Correct? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not a surprise. The whole driving force behind this is the protection of public trust resources, not only the species, but your water rights as well. That the water and the work that you all do is about delivering water to the public. That is a public trust resource. So it all kind of comes under our bailiwick, if you were wondering why we are even messing in this. The problem is that for the past 30 years, the Board of Supervisors and all of those elected officials along that 30-year pathway have kicked this problem down the road. And it's just, you know, it's just gotten to where they're being pressed by NIMFS and Fish and Game and now our organizations. And we want to get to compliance. The lawyers that you are using are playing a lot of lawyer games. There's a lot of delays going on. None of the issues that they want to talk about have really nothing to do with complying with the Endangered Species Act. And so even if they sort of won and put us out of court, which is highly unlikely, but they still are out of compliance with the Endangered Species Act. So there's no resolution there until we get the county back into compliance. That's the goal. So until the Habitat Conservation Plan, and then the incidental take permit, and it's a bureaucracy. Until all of that is done, your water rights are seemingly at risk. In fact, I have a question. Has anyone on the Zone 3 board seen a document from the state that describes the water rights for them to deliver water from the dam? Anybody? Show of hands, whatever? Nobody's seen that. We haven't seen it either. There's a stay in court right now, and we've got more documents that we would like to see. And so it may be in that, but we have some reasons to believe that they don't have that document, and they never have. So it's a complicated issue. But one of the things that I wanted to share with you was, I was on the CSD in Los Osos, and you know what that means. And one of the things that I discovered in that process was, as a public agency or public agencies, your finances are public information. So they know exactly how much money you have to spend. And it, surprisingly, when that fund dwindles down enough, then they're ready to settle. Right now, they just seem to be playing, their strategy is to just sort of run out the clock, but that's, you know, that's not possible. And but for sure, it's costing you guys a lot of money. It's costing us a lot of money. We would like to get back on track. So I guess I'm asking you all to give some direction back to the county, to give direction back to their lawyers to stop fooling around. Thank you. You have any questions for me? You may have lots of questions.
No, I just said, what was the document that you asked?
It's a water rights document of some type. It's, I don't know if it's a permit. I don't know if it's just a contract. I'm not sure what it is, but for distributors of water, you know, whether they're a public or a private entity, they have to have the authority from the state, because at the end of the day, that water belongs to the state. And so you've got to have a permit to access that water and distribute it. And, you know, so there's a whole process that goes with that that has not been done, as far as we can tell. So, anything else? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
And you want to answer now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jesse Swanizer. I'm one of the attorneys on the case. I'm sure I'm not your favorite person. I brought something we sent. Can I step away from this and
yes.
still speak?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I brought something that we sent to the county yesterday. It's come to our attention that perhaps you all aren't getting everything from them, so we're delivering this. The appendices are hundreds of pages long. Didn't print those out, but certainly the county can get those to you. I'm going to clarify or expand a little bit on something Gordon said, and then I'll make my comment. So the way state water rights work, and I'm not a water rights lawyer, is you apply, then you get a permit, then you get a license, then you get a right. I think that's the process. And basically, you all haven't gotten to the right stage. And in fact, at some point, the state said you need a different kind of permit. So not only are you not having a right, but the kind of permit you have doesn't actually describe what it is you do. So anyhow, a topic for another day. But something that we think and have been concerned about is making sure you all have the right to continue to deliver the water that you're delivering to your constituents. I'm going to do a bit of a Chuck Schumer act here. I'm new to glasses. I apologize. I've always wondered why he does this, and now I know exactly why he does this. So I want to do two things. I want to give you a little bit about what Gordon said, which is our understanding of why the... Yeah, sorry.
Could you repeat your name?
Oh, yeah. Jesse Swanheiser. I can spell it if you'd like.
Yes.
S-W-A-N-H-U-Y-S-E-R.
And you're with?
I'm a partner at Sycamore Law. We're one of the law firms that's that filed the case against the county. So the letter you just got is from Environmental Advocates. They're the lead firm, and then I'm a support role. Actually, I've been involved in this case. I've been following the county's efforts to comply with the HCP since before I had gray in my beard. So I've been at this a while, but I'm not the lead attorney on this. So the two things I wanted is to talk a little bit about our understanding of why we are where we are, how we got to this stage, where the Ninth Circuit is hearing an appeal on a side issue, and we're all spending lots and lots of money on something that isn't at all what we brought the lawsuit to address. And then secondly, sort of what the impact of the appeal may be on the underlying lawsuit. All of this comes because, and we're reading tea leaves, right? We don't know the inner workings, but there seems to be some misalignment of interests and information between the groups of people that are engaged in this litigation, right? The county is the defendant, and they're the ones directing Nossaman. That's the law firm. Then there's you all who advise the county as to Zone 3 operations. And then there's your taxpayers and ratepayers who are actually footing the 2-point-something million dollars that the county has paid, that you all have or will pay. And from our perspective, I think I just want to echo what Gordon said. We're hoping that this group will get more engaged with the county. It seems like you're not getting all the information. It seems like you're being told that our settlement positions are asking for far more than what's required by the law. This case should settle, period. The county has been told for 30 years that it needs to comply with the Endangered Species Act, and here we are. So we brought the lawsuit largely because it seemed like the county wasn't going to do it unless we got involved. And I expected the case to settle because the county has to do that anyway to comply with the law. Turns out they also have to do that to secure your water right. The state water board is holding up your water right until such time as they comply with the Endangered Species Act. So at least in this circumstance, protecting the steelhead and getting your water right and securing water rights for the future, the exact same path to those two things is getting compliance with the Endangered Species Act. So again, it seems like the incentives are a little bit misaligned, and we would like for you all to be more engaged with Nossaman. What's their strategy? What's the outcome of their strategy? I'll discuss the appeal in a second. What are the alternatives to their strategy? And most importantly, what is the settlement positions? They need help developing a reasonable settlement position. What we've gotten back from the county has basically been go pound sand. And we're asking for a lot, but that's how settlements work. You ask for a lot and shoot for the stars and accept the moon. So to date, we haven't had anything near the moon. There's just back on Earth. So the parties are too far apart. The second thing I want to address is the outcome of the appeal. So the county appealed the preliminary injunction of the case. So there's no chance that the appeal will do away with this case. It is strictly related to the preliminary injunction. It has nothing to do with the underlying case. The case isn't going away. And it is an interesting legal question. As a lawyer, it's a really interesting legal question that they raised, but it has nothing to do with what we've asked for. It has nothing to do with the steelhead. It has nothing to do with your water right. Best case scenario, if the county wins, and I think there's a good chance that they're going to win, not on everything they wanted, but I think that the Ninth Circuit is going to remand to the district court and tell the district court, you need to do it again. You didn't check the right boxes and say the right words. But all that's going to happen, best case scenario, if the appeal wins, is this case gets more complex, more complicated, and takes more time. We wanted to deal with the steelhead. The county is now forcing, through the Ninth Circuit, the county to deal with tidewater goby, with pond turtles, with a third species I'm drawing a blank on. So I just want to make it clear, because we've read some posts online and whatnot that indicate that the county is presenting to some people the idea that if they could just win this appeal, the litigation goes away and we're done. That is not what is at issue. The appeal, if won, simply complicates the issue further. So I'm here really to echo what Gordon said, which is we would like for this group, for the people you represent, for the city council members that you serve with in your respective cities, to get more engaged. We have to comply with the Endangered Species Act. That is not a question. The question is how quickly and how cheaply can we do it and start spending money on programs and stop spending money on lawyers. That's all. And I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you for your comments. There are any other public comments on items not on the agenda today? Okay. There are a number of members of the public here, so if we're humming through things and there was something you did want to have public comment on, please try to stop me and we'll open it up as appropriate. Okay. We'll move on to the July 17th meeting minutes, which
Ron,
were attached.
Yes. Could I just make one comment, maybe reflecting the comments of the public and going back to just kind of the basis of, I think we've heard several times, and we all feel it, we're spending a lot of money on lawyers, and that doesn't help any of the endangered species, whether the fish, the gobies, whoever else. My observation being, I guess, in this regulatory slash now private water game for 30 years, there would have been a better way to do this than just file a suit against the county. They've been working on the HCP. The advisory committee was aware of that work, and a nudge that says we're planning on litigation, where are you guys at? But this came about very quickly and moved into a very expensive lawsuit. That the motives, I'm not going to guess on, but I just think it would have been a better way to move this along that would have been, thinking mostly about the ratepayers, because that's who's going to, you know, basically end up with this. So just, I guess that's my personal comment, maybe not even a comment as CSA 12, but I just, it's, I think we could have done better with it.
Thank you, Brad. Okay, we'll turn back and turn back to the July 17th meeting minutes, which were attached. Did anybody have any comment or discussion? If not, I'll take a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Hear lots of seconds. who got in first? I think Shirley got in first. Okay, then do we need to do roll call on that, or can we just say aye, David?
The ayes can have it.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. All right, we'll move into our operations report.
All right, it's my mic on. Let me jump in. I'll give you guys the current numbers for today. The water treatment plant is currently operating at 5.1 MGD. The state water project is offline currently. Downstream releases are at 5.1 MGD. Capacity is 83.1%. Storage is at 41,125.3 acre feet. And our current elevation is 513.03 feet. Rainfall to date is zero. Anybody need a repeat on the numbers?
What is that like percentage in the?
We're at 83%.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Next item up is the projected water or projected storage chart. At the request of the TAC, we added a new storage projection line. So not only do we have the black line that shows the storage projection, so the black trending line on the top, or I guess like dark green on my screen, it's black. The dark green line, that is the storage projection if the preliminary injunction was not in place. Then we have the green line, which is the storage projection with the PI in place, and both those two incorporate future rainfall. And then we have the yellow line that projects under the PI with no rainfall. Any questions on the projection? And then water operations, July and August. We're sitting, about 40% of the way the year through. Everyone's water usage is tracking, pretty well, unless anybody has any questions on their water usage. No concerns here. And then I'll jump right into the project updates. Membrane module replacements, we're still on schedule to replace those on December 9th. We can update that once we get a tentative shipping on the modules. We will be doing two racks this year. The spillway assessment and investigation, our geotechnical data report has been submitted to DSOD, and we just recently got some recommendations from our consultant GEI on what some of the potential repair costs could be up on the spillway. I don't know those right off the top of my head, and we're waiting for the actual analysis, alternatives analysis, to then provide that to this group. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study, we did receive a review from DSOD. They do recommend that we do a FLAC 2D analysis on the terminal dam, as well as a, they want us to look at a fault, it's a fault rupture assessment of the left abutment. There is actually a small fault that runs through the terminal reservoir's left abutment. So we'll be taking a look at that. We're currently getting quotes from GEI for that work as well. I should note that they did list our terminal reservoir as at risk, and it is now on the DSOD's website because of this assessment, but they were providing the quarterly reports to them, and we'll update it as we get the new analysis done. cathodic protection and repair project. That is still no change. We're still working with the state on getting a transient monitoring test station installed. The fire flow tank is permanently on hold until future funds are available. You guys might remember we did divert funds from that project over to the membrane rack so that we could just fully fund the membrane rack project and get it done before costs went up on those membranes. And then as far as projects completed, the steelhead passage feasibility assessment, the draft like final assessment has been completed at this time. Any questions on the project updates?
Timeline for the DSOD feedback on the seismic spillway?
It's from what we understand, they're pretty backlogged. I would anticipate probably 6 months to 9 months before we hear anything back.
And for fire flow tanks, are we banking on future grant funding or?
Yeah, we will be looking at grants for that work. And then we're actually kind of bringing back another alternative that we might consider, which was actually a fire flow pump instead of having a tank. So it's something to consider, but it's got its own problems too. It could be cheaper, but it still could be problematic. So we're going to weigh the options and then see what we can do as far as grant funding goes.
Are there more membrane modules?
We have one more rack to do. However, that rack was brought online in 2000, I believe it was 17. And so we wouldn't have to, per the warrant, per the manufacturer's suggestion, it's 10 years. So we wouldn't have to really mess with it until 2027. And the racks that are there now, those went, you know, 15 plus years. So we might push it out a little bit before we do that last rack. So, yeah.
Any other members have comments, questions? Okay. Did anybody in the public want to speak on any of this?
Good morning. I'm Susanna Brown, and I'm a data scientist in the county, and I'm also the chairperson of the South County Chambers of Commerce. And I wanted to say thank you all for being here this morning and providing all the data. Looking at the Zone 3 reports, these trends stood out to me, and I just kind of wanted to highlight that for you. More than $2 million has already been spent on the legal defense, as we all know, and that's reshaping the budget. The Lopez storage is trending below historic averages. The updated projection chart that you all just showed right now, I quickly looked at. And it makes it clear that even with the average rainfall, the reservoir continues to decline, and in drier scenarios, we'll hit the low reservoir response thresholds much sooner than predicted previously. Contractors are consistently receiving less than their full entitlements, so agencies are paying more while getting less water. From a data perspective, those three factors together create a real risk for instability for our communities, businesses, and residents. And as you consider a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, I would encourage you to highlight not only these costs and supply impacts, but also the need for scenario modeling, which I haven't seen too much of in these reports. For example, what happens when releases increase or if entitlements are reduced by 20%? Clear scenarios give decision makers and agencies something concrete to plan from, and they also build public's confidence. I know desalinization and recycled water are being discussed in other parts of the county right now, and I know that's outside of Zone 3's purview, but it is important to understand that your recommendations partnered with what they're working on a county level do help align Lopez's planning with these broader efforts. So thank you so much for your consideration and everything you do today.
Can you tell me just who were you with again?
I'm a data scientist for Renaissance Strategy Dynamics and the chairperson of the South County Chambers of Commerce.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Anybody else? All right, we'll close it up. Is there any other further discussion from the members? Okay. Terrific. Okay, we'll move on to Lopez Recreation Report.
Good morning. I'm Brian Wilder, Park Superintendent with Slo County Parks, and here to give the recreation report. We had a busy summer. The lake level is still high. So we had about 160,000 visitors, about $650,000 in revenue, which are pretty in line with the current lake levels. Some of the activities were bass tournaments. We had three through the course of Memorial Day and Labor Day. That's kind of our busier season is between those two dates. No fish plants from Fish and Wildlife since April of 16, which is normal. We don't usually get those in the summer. Those will probably resume sometime in the winter months when the water temperature goes lower. A few projects that we've had, we have a new registration and accounting program. It's been kind of implemented by our IT department to streamline our operations out there. Potable water tank is being replaced. That construction is currently underway in conjunction with County Public Works. We installed an office generator for backup for our operations out there. We have a lot of power safety shutoffs with you know, the increased fire risk and PG&E's measures out in those canyons. So we've also been able to work with them to lessen those this year, which has been great. It's been a huge difference in our operation this summer. We're also continuing our quagga inspection program. We have a two-year grant that we're utilizing. This was the first summer. It's through the Department of Boating and Waterways. We're using muscle dogs. They're a contractor that bring canines that are trained to sniff out invasive mussels and invasive mussel matter. It's been very, very good as an educational tool and also in practicality. It's freed up our staff to do some other things. Besides boat inspections, it was taking up a lot of our time at the front office. Our inspected vessels for this past summer were 4,257 and rejected were 91. So you can imagine with that many vessels, it takes a lot of time to go through every single one when they come through the front gate. So they've really been a kind of a lifesaver in our operation. They've also implemented what's called the Watercraft Inspection and Decontamination Database. It's a database that's used throughout the state for different reservoirs. It's a valuable tool to track where boats have actually been. Prior to that, we were just using kind of the honor system and asking where they last launched. This system tells us where they were, when they were there, so there's no question about you know, the threat that we're facing with every boat that comes in. Also, Department of Fish and Wildlife also has a canine unit. They've been coming out to the lake occasionally. Again, a great educational tool, but also it's really a good tool for us to use in addition to our staff out there. It's been a very welcome change. With that, that concludes the recreation report.
I think we have some questions up here.
Excuse me, I had a question about, I know that there's the water slides that have been out there forever, and then that other ropes course, and they're owned by private industry, right? And they just rent that space?
Yeah, it's a managed concession that Parks runs with private business.
Okay. And you said something about 650,000. Is that a gross number or a net number?
No. Gross. So we
gonna say, wow, we should open more lakes.
Yeah. So, you know, I will add that we typically make most of our revenue within that 3-month window of summer. In addition, it's wildly fluctuates with lake level. So, you know, when the lake level's low, we don't have those kind of numbers. So, you know, it's hard for planning purposes. Our revenue varies greatly depending on you know, anything from weather to, you know, fire danger. I mean, we just recently were closed down for 2 weeks because of the fires that were the Gifford fire. So, you know, we'll take it when we can get it, but it's not guaranteed that it's going to continue that way.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brad Hudson. Member Hageman.
Hey, Brian. So can you contrast that with our drought months? I don't know how long you've been with the county in terms of revenue, or was it like when we were down to 15 or 20% and we were all holding our breath hoping for rain?
Yeah.
In terms of revenues?
We were. I was actually working at Lopez last time we had close to minimum pool, and you know, boating operations were almost non-existent.
Ramps,
it was hand launch only. So that affected camping greatly. I mean, it's hard for me to off the top of my head to say how much, but you know, it was a completely different park. The campgrounds were virtually empty. Day use was just shore fishermen, and that didn't account for much. And you know, I will add also, Lopez Lake generally funds the rest of our regional parks, so if we don't make money at Lopez Lake, we're in trouble as a department.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? No? Okay. Anybody from the public on that? All right, very good. We have a presentation of some informational items, including the fourth quarter fiscal year 24-25 budget status.
All right, we do have county finance in the room too. If you guys have some more pointed questions that I can't answer, we'll walk through this. So the total budget at the end of the, where are we at? Fourth quarter here is, you know, 7.7 million. Current to date expenses is 9.5. So we're a negative balance of 1.7. We spent 122.9% of the budget. We do have a carry forward of 1.15, and then we'll have a final billings slash credit back to the participants. So a billing of 2.9 million. Currently our routine O&M projects, we've expensed 106% of the budget to date. And then our non-routine operations, we are at 317%, and our capital outlay, we're at 20%. Thought we had some graphs here. As you can see, you can kind of track where the money's going. We did have some considerable expenses up at the main dam, partly because of the flip bucket spillway work. I have finalized the documents with FEMA. They are fully obligated, and we are waiting on final notice that we're getting those checks cut back to us. If I recall, I think the spillway repair work was somewhere in the vicinity of $120,000 to $150,000, so we'll be getting that back. Let's see. So that's routine operations and maintenance. We have non-routine. Same thing. I think the terminal dam had some considerable expenses as well. And then on this one as well, you can see litigation expenses of 2.2. And then where was the other deficit there? Sorry, it's really small on my screen too. And then we had some safety upgrades at the water treatment plant that we had to do that kind of ran over budget as well. And then our capital outlay, CIP, as you guys know, we dumped everything, all the money over to the membrane modules racks. You'll see this line catch up really quick once we actually get billed for those racks. I think they were on the magnitude of $550,000. So this line will jump up and start, you know, tracking the way it should once we get invoiced for that. Did you guys have any questions on the budget today? Anything specific?
I'll ask sort of a big picture question on this. Ongoing non-anticipated costs, I'll call them. We may be able to anticipate that they will continue for a while. At what point do we reassess a budget?
I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So maybe a future agenda item.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you clarify
sorry, didn't know what was on. Can you clarify what is involved in the non-routine operation and maintenance?
Where's our non-routine? So our non-routine operations and maintenance are typically projects that we see as they're still a maintenance item, but they're not a capitalized item. So it's something that we do, but we don't consider it routine, if you will. And that can be things like the geotechnical testing at the terminal dam, right? It is a maintenance item, and it's non-capitalized. But it's technically not a routine item. You don't do it yearly, right?
Right.
So it's things like that. The cloud seeding program was a non-routine program. We don't do it every year. So projects like that Anything that kind of falls outside of the routine operation and maintenance, but then is not a capitalized project, like a membrane rack or something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully my finance agreed with my interpretation of that.
Well, I'm glad they're here to support. So if there aren't any more questions up here, we have a member of the vote. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe just one on the routine. Mm-hmm. I mean, just sort of looking at operations wise, the things, the nuts and bolts, chemicals, water quality testing, electricity. I mean, it seemed like we did fairly well in budgeting and expenses. So that is a good thing, I guess, and probably we have a history. I mean, like a lot of treatment plants, so we can pretty well project or predict those. So I guess I'm looking for some positives. We were over at the main dam and the terminal, 240% of budgeted and 150%. What's that?
Yeah, so we had two projects up at the main dam. We had the FEMA repair of the riprap below the flip bucket, and then adjacent to that, we had the flip bucket under drain that was kind of buried over there, and we had to uncover that and extend the pipe and get that back into working order. So we knew that mat, the lower mat on the spillway, was draining correctly. And then the perimeter channel, which would be tied to the terminal dam, same thing. That was a FEMA repair. That's when we had the breach at the back. It took a lot of time to get that one fixed. Because we had to deal with DWR and permits on that one and increased water quality testing. And so it just kind of ran the cost up.
But is that now finished?
It is complete and finished. The repair looks great. We're just waiting on reimbursement from FEMA.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice thought. Money coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Will the reimbursement bring us back to budgeted, or will it still be over?
I think it gets us close, but I don't think it was a full 100% reimbursement.
All right. Looks like we have a comment from the member of the public.
Hi, my name is Stacey Inman, City of Pismo Beach. I'm on the Pismo Beach City Council. In regard to the litigation amount, $2.2 million, I'm curious if that is a county number, because all of the Zone 3 agencies are the ones funding, to a great extent, the litigation. So when you say $2.2 million, what's that reference? I mean, who's paying that? Because I don't understand that the county is paying that.
So I won't be able to answer that question, I don't think, but... David, what's your...
For the contract that we have with the county, I mean, isn't that the best answer? A contract with the county having responsibility?
Yeah, I think that's the best answer, is that we would defer to the contracts.
So, but it's a pass-through, essentially, right?
It is.
Okay, so that's the point I wanted to make. It's pass-through, it's not directly... I mean, yes, it eventually comes out of your coffers, but entities are paying that before it comes out of your coffers, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Does anybody want to?
Yeah, exactly.
Finance want to talk to speak to that one at all?
Since we didn't plan for this lawsuit, it is an unbudgeted expense, so typically we would bill the agencies for this as a true-up of the fiscal year 24-25 budget, and that will come out in November when we bill out the second installment for the current year budget. That's all the information I have right now.
And so you guys know, this is Katie Franco, Finance Division Manager.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Another comment from the public?
Yes, sorry. I have another comment. Sure. On this item. I would encourage this committee to recommend a mid-year budget adjustment with review in this committee before it goes to the board. and that would ensure transparency and give the contractors the ability to weigh in here before the board hears it. So with all the budget overage, I think that would be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Anybody else?
Just replying to that comment, Katie Franco again.
Yeah.
Since this was unanticipated and we didn't know the breadth of what we were getting into, it's right. difficult to estimate what this cost will be. We did build in a portion of this into our current year budget, but again, we don't have any knowledge of how long it's going to be going on or how much it will cost. So sure. we're trying to keep everyone informed as much as possible. But again, with that discretion of the situation that we're in. So just to give kind of a
Understood.
Context of from the county side. Thank you.
There is a bit of unprecedented going on here. So thank you for the public for understanding our ability or inability to answer everything fully today. Go ahead.
I just want to pipe in again, and Jesse Swanheiser again. A settlement is the way to control costs, if that is of concern. Litigating is expensive. And the 2.2, it's a little embarrassing for me to say in public, is just what you've paid to Nossaman. That's nothing. We haven't been paid a cent. So what you're seeing is approximately half of actual costs. And again, we've been pushing for and still believe that a settlement is the best way to resolve this issue.
Thank you for that.
Ron, I have a suggestion maybe we could do. Do we do quarterly updates on budgets? I'm thinking for 25, 26, and it may, you know, when would we see that? What are we in, September, October? We have a meeting in?
January.
January is our next meeting?
Yeah. Or we have one in November, but
November. We won't have quarterly numbers crunched, or would we by November? Yeah, maybe we could include an update there to kind of, I think the suggestions, you know, to track it a little better. And then I know that if we do make a budget adjustment, it typically or always comes to the advisory committee before it goes to the Board of Supervisors. At least that's been past practice. So 100% agree with that suggestion that we continue with that.
Okay. I know we're not to future agenda items yet, but there's a bit of awkwardness today because a number of us don't know if we can answer certain questions or we don't know the answers. Strikes me just about every other committee or council has times where they have closed session where they can be advised by council. Financial, if we have that ability for the next meeting so that we can present sort of unified understanding of how we can approach answering all these questions, that would be terrific.
Okay, I can just say though, we do have a common interest joint defense agreement between your agencies and us. If you guys have questions or your councils have questions, please reach out to County Council.
Thanks, David.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any action items today?
We do not.
Okay. And so we have two forms of action items. So we have no subsequent board or supervisor action required. So I'm assuming you said no to that. Yeah. Do we have any where board or supervisor action is subsequently required?
We do not.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, and now we are at future agenda items. Does anyone have anything else to suggest? Okay, with that, I want to thank everyone for being here today and all the members of the public, all of your comment and your questions, and for staying engaged in your community. Appreciate it. Thank you all.